notice something here, because I don't want you to leave this church with the idea that anytime you're in trouble and you pray to God, the problem is going to be solved, because that is not true.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This is the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message taken from Psalm 46, and how the truth of the psalm spoke to him on a day when he was experiencing a really bad day. Be still and know that I am God. Pastor Grant shows how this profound and simple truth is a call to surrender our anxieties to Him and find the peace that He alone can give. Now, in this concluding part of the message, Pastor Grant lists from Scripture several reasons why a saint, facing the storms of life, can trust God no matter what. Turn again to Psalm 46 and listen with us as Pastor Grant concludes his message, What to Do When You're Having a Really Bad Day. Here again is Pastor Grant.
What have we learned so far? Let's say it together. When I have a really bad day, what? I will surrender my anxieties to the Lord. But second, write this down. When I have a really bad day, I will wait for God's deliverance. I will wait for God's deliverance. Add this to your notes. Squeeze this in. I will patiently wait for God's deliverance. Add that word, patiently. It's not in your notes, but add it in. I will patiently wait for God's deliverance. Psalm 46 tells us that it is a psalm of the sons of Korah. You notice that at the top of your, on right under Psalm 46, it says, a psalm of the sons of Korah. And many Bible scholars believe it was written as a result of a great deliverance God wrought in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. One of the most powerful stories, I think, in the Old Testament. One that often goes missed. But I want to go to this story, the story that is believed that prompted the writing of Psalm 46. So we're going to spend the rest of the time, and we're not going to be too long this morning, but I want to take you to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 through 4. Let me read that first. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. You remember by now, Israel was split between Israel and Judah. Then some came and said to King Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea. They're coming from Syria. They're coming, and they're in Hazan Tamor, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. They weren't far away, because En-Gedi is not far from Jerusalem. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. It was a national prayer meeting. Everybody showed up because they were in an impossible situation. All these armies were coming against them. And in case you don't realize how bad it was, look at verse number 12. Here's how they were praying. Oh, our God, will you not judge these people who are coming against us? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. God, they're too much for us. God, we don't have a chance against them. But here's what they say. Nor do we know, we don't even know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. God, we are depending upon you to deliver us. You are our only hope, and we're depending on you to deliver us. Too often when our backs are against the wall, we get too impatient to wait on God's deliverance. You know, sometimes we start off asking God to help us. But if God doesn't move according to our timetable, am I right about that? I've seen Christians who have had financial problems, and they have asked us to pray, and we have prayed, and they're praying, everybody's praying. But things went on a little long. And so the next thing you know, they're buying the Powerball. You all know about the Powerball. Oh, they're in the lotto line. Oh, come on now, brothers, my brothers and sisters. Hope nobody here is in the lotto line. Amen. Let me leave that alone. You know, I've seen Christian ladies, and ladies, don't think I'm meddling now. You're going to say, he leave preaching and gone to meddling. But I've known ladies whose biological clock was ticking, and because there didn't seem to be enough men in the church, they took matters into their own hands. I waited on God long enough, but I'm not going to wait all the while. Oh, this is why, thank God, we put in the word patiently. Didn't we put in the word patient in our notes? Because sometimes you got to wait and wait and wait. The story that really, when I was preparing, really came back to me. This was about 40 years ago. And this one really blew my mind. And this man, he was having financial difficulties. He was a deacon in an evangelical church. His power was shut off. So what did he do? He climbed the pole himself and reconnected the utility. And he was justifying it. I don't know if you can still do that today, but he certainly connected up everything. He was tired of waiting on God. When you have your drama, and guess what? Drama will come. Oh, right now you're coasting. Right now everything is going your way. You got the job you wanted. You got the house you wanted. You got everything you wanted. And you think, oh, this is... Drama is coming. Nobody is exempt. But I am so glad when drama comes, we have a God and our anchor can hold because he is our very present help in trouble. Amen. But listen, I don't want you to miss something here because I don't want you to leave this church with the idea that anytime you're in trouble and you pray to God, the problem is going to be solved, because that is not true. You know, God has the power to silence every storm. Now, you might hear this from many preachers on TV because they want you to believe if you send in the money, they'll send you a prayer cloth or a bottle of something that they have blessed. You know, come on. You're going to send me holy water, but it came from the Schuylkill. All right. Let me leave that alone. Here's all I'm saying. Drama will come. But God does not always choose to still and to totally solve the problem. Listen, you will experience his grace and he will give you peace to take you through every storm. That's the promise. He will give you peace to take you through every storm. But the promise is not that he's going to take away the storm. You know, a few years ago, we visited the Museum of Science and Technology in Chicago. And one exhibit was an incubator with chicken eggs. Some of the little chicks had broken free of their egg. But there were a whole lot of little eggs in the exhibit, in the incubator. And you could see the little beaks knocking against the shell. And sometimes they'd formed little tiny holes. So I said to the man, about how long does it take for a little chick to break free? No, I don't know anything about, you know, I'm a town boy, I'm a city boy. My parents used to try raising chickens back in the day, but the mongoose came and ate the chickens. So I never got to see no chicks being born trying to get themselves out of this shell. So this was like a big deal for me. I said, how long is it going to take for these little chicks to break free? The man says, sometimes it takes about 10 hours. I'm saying, 10 hours? Can somebody do something to help this little chick rather than having this chick struggling for 10 hours? Look at the little tiny little baby. The man said to me, he said, here's the problem. If we help the chick to escape, the chick would not survive. I said, what? He says, yes. There is something about the struggle and strain that that chick goes through to try and break free that gives the chick the muscle and all they will need to survive when they get out. Do you realize that God sometimes leaves us in the storm? He gives us peace in the midst of the storm, but sometimes he leaves you in the storm because he is helping you and I develop the muscle, the spiritual muscle and the spiritual stamina that we need. Stay with me now. We are developing the spiritual stamina we need so that we can achieve his perfect purpose for our lives. Sometimes God has a much bigger plan for us, and the only way he can get us there is for our going through the tough times so we can develop spiritual fortitude and spiritual stamina to deal with what he has in place for you. So when God does not remove the storm, don't lose heart, for God may be working out a greater plan in your life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul mentions a storm in his life that bothered him so much. He asked the Lord 3 times to remove it. Sometimes we don't think of it as a storm. We think of it as a thorn in the flesh. Listen, this was a storm in Paul's life. It bothered whatever it is, and we're not sure what it is. Whatever it was, some believe it was a health challenge. Whatever it is, it was bothering him so much. He begged God 3 times to remove it. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, God finally told him, no. I am not removing it. And he gave Paul a reason why he was not going to remove the storm. And the reason he gave Paul is perhaps the reason he wants to give to some of us here this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, here is what God said to Paul. No, I am not going to remove it. Why? Because my grace is sufficient for you. My brothers and sisters, God wants us to recognize that when we're having a really bad day, what he's after is not necessarily to remove the storm. What he really wants is to help us to really come to experience his grace and to recognize that his grace is sufficient for us. Hallelujah. I tell you, that night when I surrendered my anxieties to the Lord, my temperature still was 103.4. But that night, I experienced that God's grace is sufficient. My brother, my sister, as you go through your storm, don't lose heart. Amen. Surrender your anxieties to the Lord. That's number one, because his grace is sufficient, but patiently wait on God's deliverance. Oh, if God chooses to deliver, he will. And if he does not, he will give you the grace to deal with it. The Apostle Paul never fought God after God told him that. The Apostle Paul went on to perform God's purpose for his life. And thanks to the fact that Paul faithfully pursued his purpose. We have so much holy scriptures that we can go back to because a man of God did not quit because of the fact that God did not remove his storm. And may God help us in our hour of need. When we are facing our storm, may God help us that we will not quit, but that we might remain faithful to God so that he can perform his purposes in our life. So what have we said so far? Say it with me. Number one, when I have a really bad day, I will surrender my anxieties to the Lord. Second, when I have a really bad day, I will wait for God's deliverance. And finally, say this one with me as you write it down. When I have a really bad day, I will determine not to lose my praise. I didn't know you all were going to sing that. I will determine not to lose my praise. Look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 18. Just so you know, my wife, sometimes I say, what are you all going to sing? Just wait, you'll hear. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. I don't want to read too fast because probably I need to slow down. I need you to remember the context here. They are in trouble. They're as far as they're concerned, there is no hope unless God does something. And here's what they're doing. They're worshiping the Lord. Verse 20. So they rose up early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to kill them. So three in a confederacy, two armies attacked the third and totally wiped them out. And when they had made an end of that one, the two other armies attacked each other and wiped out each other. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. No wonder the sons of Korah, as they recounted this story, they could say, be still and know that I am God. Because God is the God of the impossible. Wow, what a story. Listen, God may not deliver us from our storm, as we just said, but no matter what may come our way, may we never lose our praise, for God is worthy of our praise. Amen. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Elizabeth Prentice was the wife of a New England minister. And in 1852, she lost two of her three children. They were still very young. In 1856, she almost lost the third child. And after that, she sat down and wrote the words of the hymn that we know so well. More love to thee, O Christ. More love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. More love to thee. Elizabeth Prentice had faced some really difficult storms, but she was determined not to lose her praise. How about you and me? Are we determined not to lose our praise? Or are we allowing circumstances to affect our worship and praise? You know, sometimes we get a bad cold, we can't worship God. Are we allowing circumstances in our life to hinder our praise? My brother and my sister, he is worthy of our homage. He is worthy of our praise no matter what we go through. We may be in pain nonstop, but he is worthy of our praise. And in 2007, Tremaine Hawkins wrote that song, which you just heard sung this morning. It was popularized by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Well, I don't have to tell you the words because you just heard them, but I'm going to say some of them again. I've lost some good friends along life's way. Some loved ones departed in heaven to stay. But thank God, I didn't lose everything. I've lost faith in people who said they cared. But in time of my crisis, they were never there. But in my disappointment, in my season of pain, oh, you may be in a season of pain right now. One thing never wavered. One thing never changed. I never lost my hope. I never lost my joy. I never lost my faith. But most of all, I never lost my praise. My friends, we'll all encounter storms in life. But when they come, let's surrender our anxieties to the Lord. Let's patiently wait for God's deliverance. And let's determine not to lose our praise. And our Father, how we bless you for your sufficient grace. We pray for somebody here this morning who is going through a tremendous storm. Oh, I pray that you will encourage them from your word and they may respond to your voice. For the person outside the ark of safety, bring them to salvation, we pray, for Christ's sake. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.